الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على السلام حي على
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
اللہ تعالیٰ کے فضل سے انشاءاللہ تعالیٰ
With the grace of the Almighty Allah, inshallah, God willing, the United Kingdom Jalsa Salana will begin from the next Jumma, Friday. The Jalsa Ga, the area where all the arrangements of the Jalsa are made in, is Hadiqat al-Mahdi. And up till now, to quite a significant degree, the arrangements have been completed there. The guests have also begun to arrive. May Allah the Almighty extend His blessings and grace to all who are coming for the sake of attaining the blessings of the Jalsa, including those who are currently on journey and also those who will be coming in the next few days. May Allah the Almighty grant ease to all those who will be undertaking the journey. May Allah grant all of them safety. The circumstances in the world are rapidly deteriorating. As such, there is always concern for those who travel. It is our prayer that Allah the Almighty keeps everyone in His safety and protection, not just Ahmadis, but to every person in the entire world. May they all attain the peace and tranquility for which Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, in this era. As we are all aware, it is with the spirit of volunteer work that all the arrangements of the Jalsa Salana are conducted. In this connection, one Friday before the Jalsa, I address the workers of the Jalsa and direct their attention towards their responsibilities. At this time, I will similarly expound on some matters with reference to the workers. Indeed, the advice with reference to hospitality is not just limited to the workers or to the volunteers of the Jalsa. In fact, they are connected to every such person who will be hosting guests in his home at the Jalsa. I will go even beyond this and say that the respect, hospitality, and reverence should be extended to guests by every believer in even normal and general circumstances, and indeed this is a duty on him. However, because at this time I would like to draw specific attention towards the guests who come for the Jalsa, so the central focus of my discourse will remain the Jalsa. As I mentioned, that there are guests who come for the Jalsa, and they arrive purely for a religious purpose. Those who participate in the Jalsa should have this objective alone in mind. When they follow this objective, then the significance of the guests enhances manifold. This is particularly true when we observe how the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, has drawn special attention towards attending the Jalsa. He has said that this Jalsa has purely a religious objective. And he has declared that it is a source of attaining the pleasure of God. From this perspective, the significance of Jalsa increases greatly. Those who arrive for the Jalsa do not come for any worldly objective, nor to participate in any worldly spectacle. If any guest comes for this purpose, he would be letting all his blessings and reward go to waste. So the dedicated and sincere people who devote themselves to serve the guests who come for the Jalsa should bear in mind that these are not ordinary guests. In fact, they are the guests who have answered the call of the established institution and system of the Imam of their time, and are thus guests who have gathered for the sake of God. Further, the guests who come for the United Kingdom Jalsa Salana, in particular, shoulder considerable concern, worry, and anxiety, and often bearing great expenditure even beyond their capacity to come here. Many come from faraway places, and they come considering that their journey could be a source of blessing in every single respect. Their love of Khilafat makes them conscious that this journey will also enable them to meet the Khalifa of the time. Guests arrive from different countries, including new converts as well as old Ahmadis. When I see the great love, affection and devotion for Khilafat in their eyes, then my feelings of gratitude to God are strengthened. In how Allah the Almighty develops in the hearts of believers love for Khilafat. This is impossible through mere human efforts. All of this is because Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah on whom be peace in this era, and after him established this institution. So that the world could be illuminated with the true and real teachings of Islam. And so Islam's message of love and affection could be conveyed to the world. And also so that the world could be informed that now world peace rests on true Islam. So these are the matters to see, hear and learn, people come to attend. This is why people love Khilafat. Now, even at the Germany Jalsa, a substantial number of countries are represented. The reason for this is so that people can come and meet the Khalifa. Especially at the United Kingdom Jalsa, people come in sizable numbers to be enabled to benefit from the spiritual atmosphere of the Jalsa, to participate in spiritual, intellectual, moral, and religious programs, to receive the prayers of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, and also to meet the Khalifa of the time. In short, the passion of the participants of the Jalsa is not found in any worldly relationship. Towards this, the promised Messiah on whom be peace draws our attention in these conditions of bed. Hence, the guests who come here have a special status and importance. As such, the importance of the host who serve these guests also increases. Understanding this spirit, members of the Jamaat offer their services voluntarily to serve these guests. If we look at this from a worldly perspective, a person with a well-placed, highly paid job is made to cook food in cauldrons, or to transport and distribute bread, or is assigned to other work, to the extent that if such a person is even asked to clean toilets, he will do all of this happily. This is because he knows that by serving these guests, he receives abundant prayers from them. Such workers also become a source of preaching towards non-Muslim guests. When children are going around the Jalsagar to give water, he is also carrying out a silent form of tabligh, of preaching. For he tells the world that we are not those people who create disorder and strife in the world. Rather, we give the world both physical and spiritual water. In short, the significance of the guest increases the significance of the hosts. This is something we do not find the equal of anywhere else in the world. Thus, fortunate are those workers and volunteers who devote themselves to serve guests in this manner. And thus they attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. In the Holy Quran, God the Almighty has given immense significance to hospitality and guests. When Hazrat Abraham, peace be upon him, status and characteristics are described, his quality of hospitality is given special mention. And so the hosts who selflessly serve their guests, who upon sight of their guest, rather than becoming engaged in other work, become concerned about how they can best serve their guest and make preparations accordingly. These people hold a status and rank in the sight of God. They understand that through this service to their guests, Allah will be pleased. Allah's pleasure is their ultimate aim. They do not have as their objective any other desire, purpose, or wish to be thanked or extended gratitude. In short, we do not find examples of this type anywhere else in the world who travel for the sake of God without any worldly purpose. In the same way, we do not find hosts of this manner anywhere else in the world who extend hospitality to guests for the sake of God alone. Where prior to the arrival of the guests, they spend days on end carrying out vakariyamal, voluntary labor work, to provide the facilities for the guests by making that forest area habitable and prepared for them. This beautiful scenario we find only in Jamaat Ahmadiyya. This is because, in accordance with the statement of Allah and His Messenger, we have come to accept the Imam of the time. This is also because we are strung together in the cord of Khilafat. And this is for the reason that we strive to fulfill our covenant, that we will give precedence to our faith over worldly matters. It is an annually recurring experience that every elder and youth, man and woman, serves with exceptional zeal and fervor. So undoubtedly, this year also, inshallah, God willing, service will be given with the same passion. According to the Vakariyamal reports I have received thus far, this year, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, there are youth who are partaking in the Vakariyamal through Waqf-e Arzi who did not have this previous experience. or nobody directed their attention to this before. With regards to anyone who associates himself with the Jamaat and believes himself to be an Ahmadi, I always say, that if anyone is showing a lack of attention or interest towards the Jamaat, it is based on the fact that those who are appointed to draw their attention are not fulfilling their responsibilities properly. It is impossible that any person who deems himself to be an Ahmadi is told the need for any work or service, yet does not respond to the call. And so it is our duty to guide others in a befitting manner. This is why Allah has commanded us to remind others, so people can be constantly guided. Indeed, befitting guidance and guiding others in an appropriate manner and admonishing other people brings about change in the temperament of people. Moreover, the need for guidance and reminders is not limited to just those who are weak or those who stand in need of it. There are many who join newly, who are not fully familiar with the Nizam, the system of the Jamaat. This is also necessary for them. It should be explained to them the true spirit of service. Albeit the majority of the new converts, seeing the examples and models of others, offer their services themselves. Yet despite this, constant reminders are still needed. Similarly, there are children who are joining. There is a need to remind them and draw their attention towards their duties and offering service. As I said, there are new youth who have come to the fore after reminding them for their proper guidance and to activate them even further in terms of how guests can be properly served. There is a need for advice and mentoring. It is for this reason that Allah the Almighty has commanded, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الزِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and keep on exhorting, for verily, exhortation benefits those who would believe. No command of Allah is devoid of wisdom. So nobody should consider reminders or to reiterate something as mere repetition. Through these reminders, many workers fully come to realize their responsibilities. There are matters which are necessary to remind others of, which people may have heard or been advised of before, but they forget the advice or their attention diminishes. By repeating the advice, they are reminded of it again. Some people even express themselves that as a result of reminders, their attentions were drawn once again. Further, you should remember that there are many people who come for Jalsa who travel from far away places. To fulfill the right of those who journey has been made an obligation and duty by God the Almighty. Approximately 1/6 of the guests who come to attend the UK Jalsa are from abroad, who come to attain the blessings of the Jalsa. They arrive from the Far East, Pakistan, India, Africa, America, and South America, which is in addition to Europe. People come from very far off countries. The remaining half consists of those who come from cities within the UK. All of them are also guests who travel. Indeed, for some elders, those who are weak or ill, to just travel from London to Hadikatul Mahdi is a journey. a journey which they undertake burdening a lot of hardship and discomfort. Thus, every male and female duty worker should realize that these are travelers and guests who they must serve. They should be kind and courteous towards them in every way possible. There are some guests who do misbehave at times. Yet, even so, every duty worker should show restraint and self-control. Every duty worker of each department should fulfill his responsibilities with patience and tolerance. Allah the Almighty has given the example of the Prophet in the Holy Quran, thereby drawing our attention of how a guest should be taken care of. We should respond to the salam of a guest with even greater salam. We should show and express pious sentiments for him. We should give him peace and security, and show and express happiness towards him. One attains true peace when he receives happiness. Here, guest does not only refer to Ahmadi guests. There are non-Ahmadi and non-Muslim guests who need more attention. At times, there are others who merely observe to see the attitude of the Ahmadis, irrespective of how they are treated, for it is natural that the other guests are going to be treated well. So they observe how others are being treated apart from them. It is for this reason that all of us need to constantly keep in mind that we must serve guests. We need to serve in the true sense, which confers to others true happiness. Henceforth, every guest who we receive and host should give us the same level of happiness as when we receive a close friend or relative. When we derive this type of happiness, it is then that the right of serving the guest is also fulfilled. Hospitality and serving our family, friends and relatives is something that everyone is easily able to do. The more someone is dear to us, the more we bear their whims and fancies. We discover the true sentiment of service is when we have to deal someone who is not related to us. Guests come to acquire peace. As I said, these are guests of Jalsa who do not have any worldly purpose in view. So as far as possible, we need to look for opportunities and occasions to comfort them, to grant them peace and ease. We need to establish the standard of hospitality where, in accordance with all our resources and circumstances, we should extend the best facilities of hospitality as possible. The organizers should constantly reflect on this point. So this is the type of hospitality that Allah desires from us, that we should give the best type of facilities and resources to guests. Furthermore, the Holy Prophet ﷺ, who to the greatest degree acted upon and understood the commands of Allah the Almighty, how did he guide us in this respect? The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "The guest has a right upon you which you should fulfill." We find examples where there were more than expected guests who arrived. He entrusted some of the guests amongst the companions, and he took some guests to host himself. The Prophet took the guests to his home. There he discovered there was only little food and drink. When he inquired from Hazrat Aisha, she responded that a small amount had been preserved for his iftari, breaking the fast. That is all that was in the house and nothing else remained. The Prophet tasted a little from that and then said to the guests to go ahead and eat it. Most certainly, the only reason the Prophet would have tasted it was so that blessings could be infused within that food. Thus, that blessed food would become the means and would be sufficient for their seri, or their breakfast. We also learn from the narration that that food, which according to Hazrat Aisha was only a small amount and sufficient for his iftar, breaking fast, actually fully satisfied all the guests. The Holy Prophet ﷺ also trained his companions in a manner where the companions had the passion to selflessly serve the guests. Anyone is able to extend hospitality to guests when he is facing no discomfort and he has helpers. True hospitality is shown when one places himself in difficulty to help others. The right of guests is that which the Holy Prophet ﷺ established. He drew the attention of the believers to discharge this due. It was the impact of the training of the Prophet ﷺ, combined with the enthusiasm and passion of the companions to follow his example, which led to incredible examples of hospitality to guests being displayed by the companions. There are such examples shown by them of hospitality which even pleased God. In this instance, God informed the Holy Prophet ﷺ of his pleasure of the hospitality of this guest by this host. What was the rank and status of this host, of this wife, husband and children for whom Allah the Almighty expressed his pleasure? Allah the Almighty praised them for this. We find the details of this in a narration as follows. Hadith Abu Huraira narrates, a journeyman came to the Holy Prophet ﷺ. He sent a message home for food to be sent for the guest, upon which he received a response that there was nothing save water left. The Holy Prophet said to the companions, who would arrange for hospitality for this guest? An Ansari exclaimed that he would arrange for the guest's hospitality. He tarried home and said to his wife to make arrangements for the guest of the Prophet. The wife told him that there was only enough food to feed the children, let alone them. The Ansari said, very well, prepare the food. Light the lantern. When the children's dinner time arrives, somehow or the other make the children sleep. And so the wife prepared the food and lit the lantern. She put the children to sleep somehow or the other. On the pretext of fixing the lantern, she got up and then extinguished the lantern. The husband and wife then sat with the guest and made out as if they were eating with them. So both the husband and the wife remained hungry all night. When in the morning the Ansari came before the Prophet, he laughed and said, the plan you made at night even made Allah to smile. Or he said, both of your actions was pleasing to God. In some narrations it is mentioned that this verse was revealed at the time. وَيُؤْسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهُمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً وَمَنْ يُوْكَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. But prefer others to themselves, even though poverty be their own lot. And whoso is rid of the covetousness of his own soul, it is these who will be successful. So this was their plan which pleased God. Fearing that the guest would fret seeing the small portion of food and would desist from eating, they came up with this plan.
कि
The plan was that they would extinguish the lantern, so that the guest, for whom there is a commandment to respect and revere, should not feel that the host were being burdened with discomfort and hardship as a result of him. Secondly, they considered that he was the guest of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus they would need to extend special hospitality. And so today we also need to keep in mind for the guests who arrive during these days of the Jalsa. They are the guests of the true and ardent devotee of the Holy Prophet. They are guests who are coming for a religious purpose. Although the objective is the same as before, the circumstances today differ. When now workers are summoned to offer different types of services and to extend hospitality, the organizers do not expect them to take the guest home to extend hospitality. People are not facing the same circumstances as in the time of the Holy Prophet. The state of affairs which the companions faced, where there was nothing or hardly anything in the home, yet they would put themselves into difficulty, sacrifice their children and make them hungry, and still serve. Today, everything is given, and then it is said to the workers to be attached to different departments and offer their services. The workers are informed that the system of the Jamaat will provide all facilities. So thus, as I said, all you workers, men and women, young and old, are fortunate because you have been appointed and selected to serve the guests of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Without any difficulty, you are able to fulfill the right and duty of hospitality. There is no financial burden upon you, nor do you have to give any other type of sacrifice. When the Jalsa Salanas were held in Rabwa, the residents of Rabwa would sacrifice the comfort of their homes for the comfort of the guests. They would offer their homes to the Jamaat for guests to stay in. Despite the langar running constantly, in particular during the 8 or 10 days of the Jalsa, some would take the burden of feeding their guests entirely. But nonetheless, we do not find any similar circumstances which the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, had to show their example to us of. In this age, in the example of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, we find illustrations of hospitality in the footsteps of our Master. The promised Messiah would put himself into discomfort to sacrifice for the guests, and would spend the night in the winter without any blanket to arrange food. The jewelry of Hazrat Amma Jan, the blessed and respected wife of the promised Messiah, would be used. This passion of sacrifice was also shown by the promised Messiah's companions. They would give preference to the comfort of others over their own comfort. In connection to the Jalsa Salana, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has mentioned, that Ahmadis should not give preference to themselves over others. Rather, they should make sacrifices for others. There is an incident mentioned in the life of the promised Messiah, narrated by Pir Sirajul Haq Sahib. He says, "The promised Messiah had given me a charpai, a traditional wooden woven bed used in the subcontinent, for my use. Some guests would come and sleep on my bed, and I would lay out my prayer mat on the floor and lay on it. At times I would have some bedding on my bedstead, and guests would even go and lie on this. I did not feel the least bit vexed or distressed by this. I understood that they were guests while we were living in Gardian. At times, guests would throw my bedding on the floor, put their own bedding on my bed, and lie on it. And this is precisely what happened on one occasion. A lady informed the Promised Messiah alayhi salam that Pir Sahib is sleeping on the floor. The Promised Messiah inquired where the bed had gone, to which he received the response that I do not know. He immediately came out and summoned me before the Gol room and asked me why you are lying on the room. It is the monsoon season and there is a danger of snakes and scorpions. I explained the entire circumstances and what occurs and that I do not say anything to the guests and said that looking after the guests is one of our responsibilities. Hearing this, the Promised Messiah went in and sent another bed for me. For a few days, this bed remained with me and then the exact same occurred as I have previously mentioned. Someone informed the Promised Messiah of this again, upon which the Promised Messiah sent another bed. A day later, the exact same occurred. Someone notified the Promised Messiah of this again. After the morning prayer, he said, "Sahib Zada Sahib, what you do is right." In other words, this right of hospitality. And our members should act in the exact same way. But do one thing. We should put a chain on the bed and hang it on the ceiling. Hearing this, the late Mulvi Abdul Karim Sahib laughed and said there might be some guests who would even take that down. The Promised Messiah also laughed at this. So these are the types of latifas or jokes that occur during hospitality. From the word latifa, I remembered that sometimes I relate a joke. In Urdu, latifa means a good word, a deep, meaningful point, or something amusing, are all in the meanings of latifa. So rather than mentioning a latifa as an amusing anecdote, I was listening to one of the sermons, whereas it was a joke. The translator was presenting it as a very deep, meaningful point, as if it was a lesson, and something profound was being explained. So at times, there are mistakes in the translation. But in any case, here, a point is being made that one should look after his own things and possessions. After this, I would like to mention an example of the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. This is an example for our workers and office holders, and a lesson for the duty people. Hazrat Sheikh Yaqub Ali Irfani Sahib relates that at the time of Jang-e-Muqaddis, a large number of people had gathered. One day, we forgot or overlooked to serve or put food for the Promised Messiah, was left at home. I had explained my wife about this, but due to being involved and in a lot of work and tasks, she had forgot. And this went as far as a large part of the evening had passed. After waiting a long period of time, the Promised Messiah asked about the food, and everyone became worried and concerned. The shops and market had also closed, and no food could be obtained from there. The circumstances were presented to the Promised Messiah, upon which he responded, "Why is there a need to be so agitated and to take so much trouble?" He said, "Go look at a tablecloth, some food will be left over, that will be sufficient." They saw there was only some pieces of bread there. The Promised Messiah said this was sufficient, and he took some pieces of bread, and that was enough. So this is a lesson for our workers. In certain circumstances, there may be shortage of food. No one should be concerned or worried if this is the case, but rather, they should make sacrifices for the sake of the guests. Sheikh Yaqub Arfani Sahib says that this may seem a very ordinary matter, an occurrence. But it makes evident the amazingly simple and informal nature of the Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. New arrangements for food could have been made, and everyone would have been delighted, but the Promised Messiah disliked for anyone to be inconvenienced at the late time of day. And nor did he care that proper food was not served to him. He did not even question anyone on their negligence and carelessness, nor did he show any disapproval. Rather, extremely happily, generously, and open-heartedly, he removed the concerns and anxieties of others. So thus, if such circumstances arise, we should always be mindful of this. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the majority of the workers display good morals. However, there are at times people who complain, so we should be mindful of this. It is a duty of officers of every department, and in particular the hospitality department, to make prior arrangements for their workers, so that when they finish their duties, food should be available for them, or other arrangements should be made. A principal guidance given to us by the promised Messiah should be always kept in view by our workers. With respect to the arrangements of guests and the hospitality, the promised Messiah says, "I always remain very mindful and attentive that no guest should be put into discomfort or inconvenience. I constantly admonish that as far as possible, guests should be extended comfort. The heart of a guest is delicate like a glass. The slightest of knocks will break it. Earlier, I had made arrangements to eat with the guests myself. However, as my illness has worsened and I had to eat food of a special dietary requirement, this arrangement did not remain. In addition, the number of guests increased so much that there was not enough space. Therefore, out of necessity, I had to eat separately. I permit everyone that they may present their requirements. Some people are ill for whom separate food arrangements may be made." So thus, this should be constantly borne in mind. We should never hurt the feelings of any guest. It is the duty of every worker to display the highest morals at every occasion, place and situation. Even if someone complains of some discomfort or inconvenience, instead of answering them indifferently, we should try to alleviate their suffering. At the end, I would like to say that with the grace of the Almighty Allah, in the various departments, the workers have now been very well trained. They thoroughly understand their tasks, and they also have good know-how of the tasks in hand. But sometimes, confidence more than necessary brings about weaknesses in the administration and system. Confidence should be maintained, but this should not cause us to overlook and neglect the minor and minute details of the task in hand. Secondly, the security department should especially need to be active. As the Jamaat is becoming known all over the world and is marching towards progress, and boldly and courageously refutes every wrong practice, such as by many extremists who bring Islam into disrepute, the Jamaat always rebuts them. So as this occurs, our opponents and those who are envious also increase in their numbers. Their efforts to oppose us also strengthen. So therefore, this department needs to become active immediately and from now. It should not be the case that they will make assessment when the time comes. They need to be activated now. Also remember, while keeping a deep insight into the security arrangements, as I said, we should not allow any shortcomings to enter into our morals and etiquettes. Wherever there are security checkpoints, the duty workers there should display good manners and etiquettes. They should not be children at all these points, but rather they should be more older and sensible people also at all places. And most of all the workers, in order to be able to perform their duties in the best possible manner, must pray. All our tasks will not be accomplished through our efforts or our skills. Rather, it will be through the help of Allah. In order to acquire the help and blessings of Allah, prayer is essential. We should never forget this. Similarly, all of us, aside from the workers, should pray. Each and every single one should supplicate that Allah the Almighty enables for all the Jalsa arrangements to be completed on time, and that we are unable to provide all the facilities for the guests.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.